This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
At the height of what the international media called the Asian migrant crisis, the Prime Minister of Bangladesh accused her fellow citizens on boats as mentally sick and a taint to the country's reputation. Sheikh Hasina called for them to be punished alongside the middlemen involved. Just what is behind this extraordinary unsympathetic attitude to the plight of the boat people stranded between the Straits of Malacca and the Andaman Sea? While the ethnic Rohingyas from Myanmar have taken the media spotlight, Bangladeshi nationals form the majority of those caught both on those boats as well as those who perished in the death camps of Wankalian in Perlis. Today we look at the conditions that are pushing Bangladeshis to leave their homeland at such high costs. Ajil Fernandez is the director of Tenaga Nita, a migrant and labour rights NGO.
Bangladeshi workers were welcomed and invited to come to Malaysia to seek employment. That was way back 1990, where we saw large groups of Bangladeshis coming into work. Many of them came here legally. They were brought through a process that was done between Malaysia and Bangladesh. The numbers grew and more started coming from the villages because for these migrants who were facing poverty, whose children were not going to school, this was like hope. This was an answer that they could come here, earn some money for a number of years and then go back home. But in the process from the 1993, we saw a huge increase of Bangladeshi migrant workers being abused. There was no proper system in place in the country. This is where the agents took upper control. We had a lot of them, both sides, both in Bangladesh and in Malaysia. There were too many abusers and too many who were being brought into the country. And they would sell the land. They would go into debt, all because they hear stories about how you can earn in Malaysia. They were brought legally, but after that, there's no work permit. So they were undocumented here. And the very fact that there was so much of corruption in Bangladesh, in Malaysia, they saw means of coming into Malaysia easily.
Responding to Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina's statement, Ajil thinks the Bangladesh government is partly to be blamed for the exodus of its people to foreign countries in exchange for remittances.
As the years went by, in Bangladesh itself, there was a political agenda. And the agenda was that Malaysia is taking Bangladeshi workers or other countries. Let's now push migrant workers to go out to work so that we can have remittances back. It was not about protecting the nationals, but it was more that money will be sent back. Over the years, it became a culture of migration. So when we went to all the different villages that we visited, families would tell you, oh, my son is going to leave school and we are going to send him to Malaysia to work. And that was the dream in every home, so that the other younger siblings will have education and they would be at least have a better home. And migration is one of the biggest trends in this part of our region. It is not something that is new. But how do we manage this migration is something that countries do not talk about.
Unlike their Rohingya counterparts, the Bangladeshi migrants have earned little sympathy in this crisis, be it from the international community or even from their government. Nazrul Islam is the country director for Dhaka-based Relief International, a humanitarian NGO which studies trafficking in persons, among others. He says poverty is not the sole reason Bangladeshis seek to leave their country and subsequently fall victim to human trafficking.
Poverty is not only the issue here. There are also lack of awareness and lack of information about trafficking issues. And they often do not understand how and when they are going to fall to the trafficking trap. And there is also a weak enforcement of existing relevant laws. We do have strong laws and policies, but there is a lack of willingness on part of the government and the authorities to enforce these laws. That might be one of the strong reasons for this issue. to happening. And also there are many recruitment agencies and broker and agent, and they have a countrywide network. They're also very involved, this commitment fraud, recruitment fraud, and including the contract switching. And sometimes they also offer false job. They give, you know, false information about the employer. This is how they got, you know, into this trafficking trap. But I would also repeat that there are lack of enforcement of the existing laws. And we also find that, you know, many people involved in this trafficking syndicate are very involved with this, you know, power structure, the country. So that might be one of the strong reasons for this to happen.
With legal channels available, why resort to illegal means?
This has been started very recently through the government-to-government memorandum of understanding. And still, many Bangladeshi people might find this is quite expensive, kind of bureaucratic to get through this legal process. And this might be the reason, you know, they also get a chance to go to some other countries with spending a very little amount of money. And the trafficker often says that they can go to Malaysia spending only $200. On the other hand, the legal migration to Malaysia might be quite expensive compared to what they're offering. So this might be one of the reasons for them to accept the offer from the human trafficker to go to these countries at a really, really cheaper rate, cheaper prices. And on the other hand, getting through this legal migration process sometimes takes time, and not everyone is going to get this opportunity. And the number of people actually being migrated through this legal process is very limited compared to the number of people trying to get job in other countries.
So what can Bangladesh do to curb trafficking of its nationals?
The Bangladesh government has already enacted, like I said, a new anti-trafficking law in 2013, which is Human Trafficking Deterrence and Suppression Act. But, you know, it's not really fully enforced. They have sometimes investigated and prosecuted some cases, but it is not really adequate. The government sometimes convicted traffickers. Like in 2013, they only convicted 14 traffickers compared to the number of traffickers that being published in the newspaper. The act is very strict. It provides severe punishment for the trafficking offense, but its enforcement is really weak. So that is not really working very well. And we do also have National Plan of Action for combating human trafficking, which is also a reflection of the trafficking law. But again, it is not really, you know, being implemented in a way it should be. And we also have an anti-trafficking cell within the Ministry of Home Affairs, and we do have anti-trafficking community committee at the district level and at the local council level. But, you know, they are not always functional. So that is on part of the government. The law enforcing agencies are also not very trained to deal with this issue. So these are some of the issues affecting the enforcement of the law. I think the regional government, they should also, you know, be more proactive. And then, like I said, that they need to talk to each other about this. They need to recognize that this is a problem for, you know, everyone. Some government in this region even doesn't want to recognize these issues. And they have many different kind of definition of this problem. Each government has their own way to define and explain these issues. That also create a lot of confusion, you know, among this government. So they, you know, should, you know, come together and to resolve some of the issues with some kind of explanation and how they define this problem. And because there are issues that many law enforcing agencies in this region are often getting involved, so the government, you know, has to come forward to recognize that and really address these issues using the government mechanism. It is just, you know, a matter of willingness that they want to stop it.
That was Nazrul Islam from Relief International, a humanitarian NGO based in Bangladesh. We also spoke to Ajil Fernandez from Tenaga Nita. Tomorrow, Malaysia, Myanmar and Indonesia will attend a regional meeting hosted by Thailand to resolve what has come to be known as the Asian migrant crisis. I'm Keith Kam, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.